¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Joel, and welcome back to the show, Aaron Raybould, as we get it going on Barry's Way Back Wednesday list of songs.
Goodell. That's Mike. Not.
Oh, that's sorry.
This is Nick.
Nick's list. Sorry. Yes. All right, whatever.
Get it together. I want to talk more football, but first, I think we have to talk about this new order in Harris County.
Okay, fair enough.
Shout out to Missy, by the way, for the masks. What?
Missy did a hell of a job.
Holy cow, those are so badass. Those were great. Yeah, I see what you did.
Did you get a Spurs one, by the way?
No, I got a Texans one and then a bunch of really cool designs.
Yeah, I got designs and I got a Spurs one.
Oh,
she's a huge Spurs fan.
That's outstanding. Good job, Missy. But there was an order issued. Apparently, Judge Hidalgo has ordered Harris County to wear masks in public for 30 days. So no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, fortunately for me, I'm up here in the MOGO, or the MOCO, I should say, Montgomery County, so I don't have to worry about it. But you guys down there slumming it in the Harris, how you feeling about that?
Well, I'm in Fort Bend there, pal.
That's right.
But I'm fine with it. I can do it. I mean, but I think that to me, the fine line is like, if you're driving, I don't think it's necessary. If you're in the store, it is. If you're going through a drive-through window, I'm not so sure it's necessary, but I mean, I'll let you guys and the listeners discuss it as well.
I would say that it's probably a really good idea. It can't hurt. Here's my only problem with wearing a mask in public. I feel less American. Does that sound stupid? Because
yes.
I really do. I feel like we have this, you know, right of freedom in this country where we can go wherever we want, do whatever we want pretty much. There's no restrictions. There's nobody telling us what to do. And now we're being told wear a mask in public. And it was optional for a while, but now it's like, hey, wear a mask in public. And it almost feels like you've given up a small bit of your rights of freedom because of this coronavirus. Not like we're living in a communist country or anything, but I just feel like I lost a little bit by having to wear this mask and assimilate and stand in a line to get groceries, and it kind of sucks. I feel like there's a little bit of freedom as just a human being lost in all this.
Aaron, you got anything? I mean, my thing is when they talk about this too, essentially, it's not the mask is not protecting you. It is protecting others from you. No matter what
it's made of. Both.
Well, the cloth masks are not protecting you. It's just preventing you from infecting others. Okay, that's what I've been told.
I mean, is it okay?
I would feel like it's either way. You obviously are doing both to a pretty good degree, but I don't know, man. I understand people want to push back and fight. I think it just depends on the environment you're in. If you're in an environment where there's going to be a lot of people, it behooves you to wear the mask. If it's just, you know, if you're in the car or you're just in and out, I don't know that it's that important. I was out and about today and noticed that there was it was probably 50-50 people that were wearing masks and that weren't. So I don't know. I don't know if trying to force telling people they have to is going to make a difference. I think people are going to be rebellious and do what they want to do regardless.
Yeah, I think, yeah, people are going to say, nope, not doing it. Not, you know, that's this is America and I do what I want. And then they're going to get the coronavirus and be like, how come y'all let this happen to me? This is America. I'm not supposed to get sick. Well, you chose that. But yeah, I think it's still up to the individual, obviously. At the same time, you have to respect your fellow man a little bit and take into consideration what, you know, if you go out in public without a mask, like you said, Joel, let's assume that your assumption is right and that it's not for you, it's to protect others. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about you as a person if you're like, yeah, I don't care if I have it and I give it to everybody else, who cares? We'll just keep this going forever.
No, and I've told, but because I've told you that, you know, walking into the HEB, I felt awful when people were looking at me like, why are you not wearing a mask? And that's why Lisa made me a homemade one the first day. And then, you know, thanks to Missy, we got some. But yeah, I mean, I felt bad because I don't want to be that guy. But if I'm just going in and out quickly someplace, I didn't think it was that necessary. But if people, you know, have that much passion about it, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think right now it might just be the sensible thing to do. The sooner that we all are able to do our part, if you're out in public, the sooner we can get over this and get out of the damn house and not have to wear them. Because nobody asked for this, but this is the reality that we live in.
Yeah. No, I get that. So,
Well, I'll stop all talking right about it. I can tell you're disinterested in this. All right, what's your pick? What's your Texans pick? You get to make the decision on position for the Texans. Where are you going? What are you doing?
First, I think pick, it's down second to second round. I think it's down to corner and interior defensive lineman. And I think honestly, as much as we think they possibly improved their secondary, but I think they'll wait on secondary, and I think that they're going to go defensive lineman in the second round.
So your prediction is they go D line. What would you do?
I think I hate to use this because it so many people do use it, but I'd go best available. I mean, it's best available. So, I mean, I think if you've got a couple guys on your draft board that you know are projected second round picks that could make an impact, then, you know, then you go
so
that route.
The but purpose of the conversation. Now you can't say best available, but what I'm basically asking you is, what's the one position that they need to address first in the draft?
I think it's I'm gonna say defensive line.
Okay. Yeah, I still say it's secondary. I still say it's cornerback specifically. I know that they signed Roby, and that, you know, Lonnie Johnson is there, and I just feel like, if there was one thing, I mean, you still have, and I know they need an edge rusher, and I know you lost DJ Reader, but Timmy Jernigan is like any other person that Bill O'Brien has gone out and acquired. The potential to be good is there. Are they going to be healthy and on the field? That's going to be the question with Timmy Jernigan, just like half of the guys that they have now with Cobb and we'll exclude Fuller and Stills, but Cooks and David Johnson. But with Merciless being able to rush the passer a little bit with J.J. Watt, I'm not so concerned about the middle of this defense. I'm still concerned about them getting the doors blown off of them in the secondary. And safety with Reed, I'm okay with. I'd go out and get another corner because I don't think you can count on the pick with Lonnie Johnson for him to develop into somebody that you trust long term. So, and I'm seeing that people are saying they should go receiver with their first pick in the draft.
Well,
I'm like,
now,
what? Well, then
see,
why'd you
now
do
that,
all those moves if you're going to do that?
Well, but that's because one of the moves that's still yet to be made that we've talked about is the potential to get rid of Kenny Stills. If they get rid of Kenny Stills, then there's obviously a need to go back and get yourself another receiver. And it is a very receiver-heavy draft, and there still should be some good ones in the second round. So I think that a lot depends on if there is some truth behind the smoke that says that they're looking to unload salary and they're looking to unload Kenny Stills. And in terms of what you said about the secondary, I think the one thing to keep an eye on, which I think Justin Reed played around with, but I think that there's some more and more validity to, and I think that they might look to bring in his brother as a safety, Justin Reed's brother. And I think if you do that and you put the two Reed brothers at safety, I think you could do a lot worse. I think he had a good year in Carolina last year. He's been an above-average safety in this league, and I think that would take care of some of the needs and concerns you're talking about in the secondary.
I mean, I'm not even talking about the safety position because, like I said, I think Reed.
You're just talking about corners.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically at corner because you know, Tashawn Gibson I think at the other safety, if that's who's going to be their strong safety. I think he's, you know, if he's back and healthy, I think he's pretty good there. I don't think he's great, but I think he's not a liability like some of these corners are. Dude, when I read you the list of cornerbacks, it's not great. I mean, you got Lonnie Johnson, Vernon Hargraves, Keon Crossan, Phillip Gaines, Cornell Armstrong, Bradley Roby, Garyon Conley, and Anthony Chesley. Does that move your needle at all? No. I mean, Bradley Roby should be the second or third best corner on this team. You should have a stud, and they don't have one. And I think they just got to keep trying. I mean, I know you spent a second-round pick on Lonnie Johnson. Time to do it again. This is a pass-happy league. You better be good at covering receivers in this league if you're going to be successful defensively. And this was not a good defense last year by any stretch. They were 25th, 29th. And passing defense last year. That's awful. They've got to get better. So that'd be my pick. I'd go corner again.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Let us know what you think. 713-780-3776. Call or text that number on the HRNP listener line. Hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. So
take me as I am. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. This segment will take us into the halfway point of the show on a way back Wednesday. Nick, hour number two. Barry, hour number three. I had hour number one, songs Roger Goodell might play on a way back Wednesday, as we had a little fun with that. Barry, you've got some breaking news that people might be interested in, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like about 14 minutes ago, the commissioner finally released the Red Sox, his findings on the Red Sox, and lo and behold, they cheated. So Alex Cora suspended through 2020, although that won't be an issue. The replay official for them, the replay operator, JT Watkins, banned through 2020, can't return until 2021. The team was not fined, but they did lose a second round pick.
You okay with that? So JD Martinez.
Well, I don't know the details yet. I have. I mean, this just dropped, so I'm looking at a really long report on the Boston Globe that I haven't really had a chance to read yet. But I'm telling you, if it doesn't sound like what they did was nearly as bad as what the Astros did, and probably not for as long.
But yet the Astros video
now.
Guys,
this is a team that had
suspended.
Already had an issue with the smartwatch.
Right.
Right. But no one in the the front office guys did, right? But you know, you had the smartwatch incident in 2017. So this is a repeat offender. I feel like that they would have been a little harsher, but apparently not.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
so I'm
I just like
the
fact
I'll try to get it read in the in
JD
the next
Martinez,
break.
All these guys kept saying, oh, no, we're waiting for it to come out because we didn't cheat. Yeah, you did. Okay. Now, you didn't lose as much in the draft picks, but you still – I'm surprised Cora didn't get more, to be honest. Because of his involvement in both scandals.
Yeah, it's funny because this article in the Globe, I'm not seeing a lot about his involvement. They do mention Cora being involved with the Astros and being dismissed January 14th because of that. But, boy, this article talks more about the Astros than it does the Red Sox and their cheating. So, I don't know. I'd like to see the findings. I'd like to read the report just like there was for the for the Astros. So no telling when that will be released. If there's a link out there, tweet it to me. App Area is funny, and I'll read it at a break. Yeah,
the Astros.
So if anybody has the report, tweet it to me.
Commissioner's letter from the Astros on the Astros was 9 pages long. So I look forward to whatever they have in terms of a report from the commissioner's office on the Red Sox, so we can get every bit of information, because we've been waiting for this for how long? I mean, every week we heard it was going to be next week, and then it never came to fruition. And so I'm just glad something finally came out on it.
So Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox president, released the following statement. As an organization, we strive for 100% compliance with the rules. MLB's investigation concluded that in isolated instances during the 2018 regular season, sign sequences were decoded through the use of live game video rather than through permissible means. That's a key statement. MLB acknowledged the front office's extensive efforts to communicate and enforce the rules and concluded that Alex Cora, the coaching staff, and most of the players did not engage in, nor were they aware of any violations. BS! Regardless, these rule violations are unacceptable. We apologize to our fans and Major League Baseball and accept the commissioner's ruling. Wait. So you're telling me that the mastermind behind the Astros sign stealing and cheating, Alex Cora, was on the another team the next year that's been accused of sign stealing, cheating, and now it's been figured out that it actually happened, that this team cheated, the one he's on now, but he had nothing to do with it. I mean, come on. Are we that stupid, or is this is literally baseball spin control, trying not to let this get out of hand?
I'm with you.
I'm not buying it. You're going to tell me Cora left the Astros and went, okay, well, I don't cheat anymore. That was just at the Astros? No way.
I'm with you. And that's why I think when we talked about it all along, we said, look, Major League Baseball is going to control this. And whether you like it or not, they're going to try and downplay as much of it as they possibly can because it's detrimental to the sport. It's detrimental to the image, the marketing, so many different things that's going to follow this city around in terms of baseball, and I think that they're going to try and limit that. So I think the fact that it's taken this long for anything to come out is a pure indication of that, and I think that they got what they wanted in terms of making this less of an issue and less of a story than the Astros story, and because of the way it went down, it looks like the Astros are going to be the evil stepchild in the poster child for all of this.
Well, I look forward to reading this report as well. So,
all right. So we'll have to wait for the report, but the first indications of Red Sox punishment is out there. So the person that texted us every day for the last month can be excited about the fact that you finally have at least the start of the answers you've been looking for.
What a chicken bleep way to go, just based off of the surface information that we have. They're basically telling us that a staffer is the one that cheated with the Red Sox. It was a staffer. Well, what player or players benefited? What, you know what I mean? Like, come on. You've made the replay staffer the scapegoat, and you've got this guy in Alex Cora, known cheater now. Come on, man.
They're also going to give you the same bull about, no players. We've made sure no players were, indicted in this because it's about cleaning up the game. But, all this other stuff. Same thing that the Astros had to deal with. But, again, not even close to the same circumstances because of the fact that everybody was obviously waiting for the Astros report. But they were quick to get that out. Once they got it out, they were quick to let the Astros take the full brunt of the blame. I just think that they've really protected the Red Sox. And now coming out when it did, way past when everybody wanted it, I think it's easier for them to sweep it under the rug.
Yep.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. That's the first half of the show. Second half still to go. 90 minutes still on the clock and plenty of opportunities for you to join in. 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. Call that number or text that number. Also hit us up on Twitter, where we're always responsive throughout the show and otherwise. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Change up is great. People, people. We all the same. No,
we're not the same because we don't know the game. This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here is the second half of the show. As we remind you, with the NFL draft coming up and a lot of the conversations we've already had, we are the home of the NFL draft here in Houston, Texas, on the radio. ESPN 97.5, proud to be your home for all NFL draft coverage live coming to you from the NFL broadcasts and ESPN. Therefore, Thursday, 6 p.m., it all starts, and we'll have all of it of the first round. Friday, it starts at 5. That means the Blitz will be preempted both Thursday and Friday accordingly. And then Saturday, starting at noon, all brought to you by RexelUSA.com. That's RexelUSA.com to learn more about their services. We appreciate Rexel and the fact that because of them and because of us, you get NFL draft coverage here in Houston. So that's good stuff. Barry, did you mute yourself again?
Pedro sent me something, and it, I don't know where this is from, so I can't comment on it, Pedro, but it has like percentages of plate appearances and all this stuff. I want to see the commissioner's report. So if you have the actual link to it, let me see that. But until then, this is an absolute joke, man. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm pissed. I mean, as a fan, I'm pissed that they rake the Astros over the coals. Rightfully so. This does not justify what the Astros did. Please don't think that or mistake that as such, because the Astros cheated, and they deserved everything that they got as cheaters. But if you're going to do that, and you're not going to sweep it under the rug, then don't sweep it under the rug for teams in bigger markets that make more money, that mean more to baseball. Because that's exactly what this looks like. It looks like to me that they're like, uh-oh, well, the Red Sox are a big deal nationally. They pull big ratings, and so we just got to – look, it was Alex Cora, didn't know about it. Are you serious? They've already been cheating once 2 years ago, or the year before in 2017. This is just – this smells like a conspiracy. And, Joel, you know me. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist.
You're not. I'm the one that's been pushing this the whole time.
Yeah, this to me looks like something's up in that front office. And they're like, boys, it's getting out of control. Let's just minimize the damage with Boston. We won't investigate the Yankees, and we can just move on, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, you know, we talked about from the get-go, like, punish everybody with the same amount of vigor and the same intensity. And regardless if, look, it may be harmful to the sport short term, but I think it's going to be appreciated more if you can weed it all out and you can put it all out on the carpet in one fall swoop and then move forward. Then the last thing you want to do is, now you sweep this under the rug and we haven't addressed the Yankees, and they've already given you the BS excuse that we can only investigate one team at a time, which is complete horse bleep because of the fact that they have staff and they have investigators and they can do this if they wanted to. But it became very, very apparent very early on that they just wanted to have that one example to be made of, being the Astros, and that everybody else, for the betterment of the sport, they were going to try and run and hide from. Now, the last thing that they want is a year or two from now, it comes out that, oops, you were wrong, and there was more, and here's so-and-so or so-and-so that was involved coming out and saying something. That would be their worst nightmare, because I'm with you. I think they've sat on this and tried to cover it all along, and based on what you've just given me in terms of the first details of the decision on the Red Sox, I think it's BS as well.
Mm. So pretty awful.
Yeah, if you're an Astros fan, you can't be happy about this, because it just – look, if you're going to suspend the video guy that was doing it and you're saying that they did it, but yet the punishments are so meek compared to what you laid down on the Astros, I mean – I don't be Roger Goodell now. I mean, show some consistency and show some past precedents to go, you know what, because we did this to the Astros and the Red Sox did it too, it should be similar. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, to say the least.
Yep.
So there's the Red Sox, the early indications of what's going to be handed down to the Red Sox and what's going to happen there. Not that anybody in Houston is going to be particularly happy about any of that, but it's out there. So you guys are welcome to discuss with us as we continue to kick around all things sports and otherwise. As we've already covered a little baseball there, covered a lot of football with the draft, covered a little bit more on the documentary, and Barry finished watching the first two episodes of The Last Dance. Russell Westbrook, by the way, made a little appearance on late night television yesterday. So he made an appearance from his house from The Tonight Show, and he had some good stuff. And amongst the things that he had a great story about the fact that he was at Michael Jordan's camp, and at the end of the camp, they always do a meet and greet. And again, Barry, like we were talking about, even at the camps, Michael would do the meet and greet at the end, but they were like sticklers about, I think it was only like one picture and either one or two things signed, and literally that was it. And there were people keeping track of all of it because he really hates that stuff. But Westbrook told a great story about, I think Aaron's got it, about the fact that, you know, when he was at the camp, that wasn't that big of a deal to him.
So I probably was about, Jimmy, I would say 10 or 11, maybe, I went to Michael Jordan camp. So parents sent me to Michael Jordan camp in Santa Barbara. At the end of Michael Jordan camps, usually every kid, every team, you need to bring something for Michael Jordan to sign. You need to stand in line. You need to be ready to go. So when it was my team was up to get a basketball. So my parents gave me a basketball to get signed. I don't know why, what I was thinking, but when it was my team, my time to go, I was in the middle of a game. So I was already playing. I was playing pickup with other kids. And then my coach was like, come on. You know, you're going to miss the opportunity to get a picture with Michael Jordan and an autograph of Michael Jordan. Myself said, don't worry. I'm okay. I don't need it right now. So I didn't get a picture of Michael Jordan. I didn't get an autograph of Michael Jordan. I literally didn't get in line. I kept playing basketball. I just kept hooping. Then when it was over, camp was over, when I got home, my mom and dad was like, did you get the ball signed? And I literally was just like, no, I did not. I was playing the
pickup
game.
Oh, my God. I was playing the pickup game. Probably thought that was their retirement plan. Like,
I mean, you hear that, and I kind of like it. I mean, obviously people are going to say he's stupid because of who – and, Barry, it goes back to what you said about – when we were talking about, did we all know that Michael was going to become the greatest of all time and all that? But I think kids have a different perspective, and not all kids are caught up in memorabilia and autographs. And at that point, when he had the potential to be who he was going to turn out to be, maybe he was focused in a different area. I don't think that's anything bad.
Well, I think it just shows his commitment to basketball. And he's like, yeah, it's more important for me to be over here playing. That's how competitive he is. You know what's funny? In my mind, Jordan would have done the same thing. If Jordan was, you know, his age, and they're like, hey, Dr. J's over here, come get a pick. He'd be like, no, I'm about to win this game. I'm about to beat these dudes. I'm not leaving. I'm up right now. I'm gonna finish this game out. I could see that being the case. I don't know that to be true, but I could see that to be the case.
Well,
that's
to back
the mentality
that up,
that guys like that have.
I would say that part of that is also the fact that when you have camps of that nature, normally there's a pretty good chance you're going to have some of the best players in the country. So to back your point up, I think the ability to be able to make a name for yourself after the camp, so that whether people saw it and reported on it, or the guys that you actually played with and beat, or played with and showed your skills to, went back to wherever they're from going, man, this kid Russell Westbrook from California is a beast. And I think that that's part of it, too, because the end result, at the end of the day, if you're going to a camp like that, is you want to end up playing big-time college ball, and you eventually want to be in the pros. And regardless of what you got, whose signature you got on a ball, it's more important to try and make a career for yourself playing the game that you love.
Yeah.
He did go on to say, by the way, when Fallon asked him, you know, if he said he's working out. He said he's doing a lot of other things. He's obviously done a ton to donate both in L.A. and Houston charitably.
Uh-huh.
And they said, he said, well, what if they just pick up and start ready to play the playoffs? You going to be ready? And he goes, Jimmy, I'm always ready. I'm going to be ready no matter what. And if there's one guy you believe in that he, when he says I'm going to be ready, I believe Russ is going to be ready. I really do.
I believe Russ. Yeah. And fortunately for us, strip clubs are closed, so James might be ready.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know if they have takeout and drive-through window only at the strip clubs. But, yeah, if they don't, that's probably a good thing. But, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But I really believe that Russ is one of those guys that just he's a different kind of character. I mean, just the way he attacks everybody on the floor, the way he doesn't take any crap from anybody. He's kind of old school with like a new school athleticism, but that old school approach is just something you're drawn to and you gotta love, because that's pretty awesome.
Do we know for sure that James is in town or in the States? Has anybody reported seeing him? Because I pose this question on Late Hits, like a week before they shut down all the strip clubs and everything.
Yeah.
With that kind of money, who says he didn't rent an island, put a plane full of strippers on there, and now that's where he is just the whole time?
Well,
he's just got 20 strippers on an island with him by himself.
So here's the thing.
He can rent an island.
To your point, early on, the NBA mandated that you stay in your home city because they didn't know how long this was going to go on, and they wanted to make sure that guys didn't get too far out of shape and or out of reach. And so the first, I want to say, like, couple weeks, they had said you have to stay in your home city. Then after that, they put a second set of guidelines out that allowed, a lot of players aren't in their hometown or where their main residence is, and they allowed players at that point to return home. But it's an I don't think that it happened right away, Aaron, but I wouldn't put it past him that, you know, there's a lot of people in Cabo because they got away from all the different restrictions. And a lot of Americans that have money went to Cabo. Maybe he did. Maybe he did get out of town at a certain point. I don't know. But the other thing that's peculiar to me, I don't know if you guys saw this or not either, but, like, how can NBA players not have hoops at their house? Because we talked about this with Giannis, and then we talked about it with Eric Gordon, and there's a lot of Rockets players that came out and said, I don't have access to a hoop. Jimmy Butler just went out and bought hoops for all of the Miami Heat players. Like, you're an NBA player.
Really?
If you don't have a hoop, you can get one. We've already told you about our good friend at Hoops here in Houston. But there are ways you can get a hoop. But really, it's like this woe is me story of I'm working out, but man, I have no access to a hoop. And your highest paid player has to go out and buy every guy on the team a hoop?
Right. That's pretty sad. How do they not gift you a hoop when you join an NBA squad? Look, in the offseason, I need you shooting at the house. So here's a hoop. Or
but
you're a multimillionaire. Buy your own hoop.
Exactly.
If you're getting the league minimum, we buy you a hoop. If you're a millionaire, buy your own hoop. But you're required to get one. That doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't.
Yeah, me either. Because and the team's not going to do it. And believe me, the way the collective bargaining agreement's written, they're going to get punished for doing it. Because that's like above and beyond the what they're allowed to compensate a player for. But you're right. Buy your own. Most of these guys have big houses and they have a gym in it and a court and a gym. And also the team's not going to do it because they give you 24-hour access to the practice facility and all that other stuff. But one way or another, you know that just like I do, there are plenty of companies in every NBA city that would say, hey, you promote our company, we'll give you a free hoop.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's some weak-ass stuff right there. But okay, we'll continue to roll on the usual suspects. We're getting into the final segment of hour number two, then a full hour after that as the third hour would continue. Barry's got that on a way back Wednesday. Plenty more to get to, and we appreciate you hanging with us on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll put the wraps on hour number two of the three-hour show. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Aaron Raybould, as Nick has the day off. I was thinking back to what you were talking about, Barry, when we were talking about Judge Hidalgo and this 30 days of wearing a mask. Then I think about of a state like Georgia. I mean, I understand, like, South Dakota, because they don't have any curve. And so they basically said you're on your own. They're going to have some kind of a crazy dirt track car race that they normally get like 4,000 people at that they're going to go on as planned with. They're only going to allow like 700 fans around the track. And they're, you know, and scarily enough, they're probably going to sell out. But then, and you're like, okay, I kind of get it, but it's not that big of a deal. But then you go to Georgia, and in Georgia, they're going to reopen bars and restaurants. They're going to reopen bowling alleys. They're going to reopen gyms. And it's like, okay, I get it if you're in rural United States and there, you know, not a whole lot of population, not a whole lot of cases, so you could be a little riskier. But to just go, for lack of a better term, to just go straight balls out and go, you know what? Let's just reopen the whole thing. Bowling alleys, gyms, malls, let's go for it. Because I think you're asking for it, you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to what I said yesterday. I certainly hope that they have more data and information than you and I do and get from various internet sources, because it doesn't seem like a logical thing to do right now, even though myself and I think everybody wants to get back to normal.
Sure.
I'm so ready, but I also realize that there has to be, you know, it has to be the right time and the right circumstances and everything else. So I'm with you. It seems asinine, you know, do it gradually, right? Like just ease into it, man. Warm it up a little bit. It's like foreplay. Get a little going, and then we'll see where we're at.
And the other thing that's frustrating is you've got
everything's back to normal like that.
You got Judge Hidalgo saying one thing. You got Sylvester Turner, the mayor, saying another thing. You got the governor saying another thing. And I mean, amongst everything else that we're talking about with communication, how is everybody not communicating so that there's one unified message going out? Because it's just like when we talked about with the closing of the parks. So the judge is going to close the county parks, but the mayor wasn't going to close the city parks until a day and a half later when they finally got back together. It's a bad look when you come out and different levels of government have different basic rules and regulations until they all go back to the drawing board after the announcements have made and go, you know, maybe we should all just say this. And it's just frustrating because there's so many people desperate for information, and with so much time on their hands, they're watching so much news coverage, and then they don't know from watching, like I said, the different levels of government, what they're actually supposed to do and what they can and can't do.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that you don't feel like everybody's on the same page. But at the same time, everybody's going to operate independently because they're independent entities. You know, one city may decide, hey, we're open for business. And then another says they're not because of whatever. Maybe they're having more outbreaks, or they have less, you know, resources, or maybe their economy is affected differently. So I get why you might have different, you know, be at different stages of return. But you're right. If you're in Harris County, which Houston is in Harris County, in that regard, you think they'd be on the same page more.
Yeah. I mean, is that so much to ask for?
No, I was watching, I forget what Nora had it on, I think CNN last night, and they were like, well, they were talking to a mayor in Georgia, and they were like, well, you know, did the governor talk to you about this, that, and the other? And he said, look, man, the governor is the governor of the state of Georgia. I'm the mayor of a city. So I can't – I mean, whatever they decide to do, they do, and we're going to make our decisions for our city that we feel are best. And you know, if they coincide or they work together, cool. If not, well, then we'll figure that out too. So I think you got to take into account everything, because he said, and I didn't realize this, I didn't know this, but he said that every day they get a report sent to them about the businesses in the city. This is a mayor now, but about mm-hmm. the businesses in the city that have laid off people and how many layoffs there have been. So I imagine if you're a mayor and you're sitting there at your desk every day getting reports, another 100 people got laid off, another 300 people got laid off. And that's in a small town in Georgia. Imagine in the city of Houston, you're like, okay, 7,000 people just got let go from Halliburton, 15,000 people from Exxon. Like, you're seeing all this. I would be no different. Forget about party lines. I think any human looks at that and goes, man, these are people without jobs. I have to do something. And if that means opening up the city to stimulate this economy, okay, I'm going to do it. Now, you have to weigh, you know, the health of everybody, but this is why I'm not.
Yeah, that's
because those are tough decisions that you have to make.
And I go back to the communication too. The fact that Trump saying he makes all the decisions and he has the ultimate authority over governors, and then the next day the governors push back. I don't have time, nor should you, to worry about the back and forth, you know, pee and match to try and figure out who has Scottie Pippen's junk, you know, who has the bigger unit, and they should be able to make these decisions. I need decisions to be made that are clear cut, that are the benefit of the people. Because I hear what you're saying, but my concern is that I also don't want round two of this pandemic to come at us even, you know, more fierce with more death. So I get the unemployment standpoint. I get wanting to jumpstart the economy again, but I also have that concern that in me that says, I just don't want to see this come back at us until, because we don't have a vaccine yet. We don't have a cure. So we are vulnerable. And as much as we want to get back to, you know, the regular way of life we knew, I don't want to go too fast, too quick, because I think it could really hurt us even more.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
So, all right, we'll see. You guys let us know what you think. But we've got an hour to go in the show. Lots more to get to. Looks like the New Orleans Saints have made a definitive decision. And for their players, it might have surprised them. Maybe it'll surprise you, too. But Sean Payton has a lot of faith in his squad as he gets ready for next season. Lots more to get to. And we love the fact that you are suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.